Hey, what's up, Power Nerd? We're continuing our bonus episodes to see what became of Errol. I'm here with Ian and Dan. And Ian, why don't you give the recap for what happened last time in our little bonus one-shot?
So Errol was alone on the streets and kind of just doing what he could to survive. And he saw someone he knew, Deacre Fleck, talking to another mutant, which obviously was a bit out of the ordinary. So Errol went up and spoke to him, and Deacre, instead of trying to kill him, you know, or you know, turn him in or anything, actually invited him to meet his friends. And Errol, you know, not having friends anymore, decided he wanted to be around people again. And he went with him, and he met all of Deacre's friends, who were pretty nice guys. They did beat up Errol, but that was like, you know, it was like hazing. So Errol's okay with it, and you know, and they had Errol go and investigate some really bad guys. Like, they were really bad. So Errol was like, well, I mean, these guys, my new friends might seem bad, but like, these guys are really bad. So if they're trying to stop them, my friends have got to be pretty good, right? So we went in, and we were trying to be sneaky, and we weren't. And Deacre got his knee blown out, so we had to rescue Deacre. But we made a new friend along the way. So we got a new friend inducted into the club, the new club I joined. And they're like really passionate about this one god, so they're like really religious. So, I mean, that can't be too bad. And so they said, we're going to go back and get rid of those really bad guys. So, again, I mean, they're doing good work. Also, I went to bed, and I woke up with a boob.
Yes. That is exactly what happened. A few days go by, enough time that Deacre's leg is healed, is able to walk around on it, and somewhere around midday, Corporal Viafris comes in, and Deacre, Errol, and Brant, you're sitting in the room, and he comes in and he throws a bundle at Errol. He says, well, I got this here for you. And you open it up, and it is clothes, if you want to wear them, and it seems like he's procured a mask.
Thank you.
No problem.
I kind of didn't like being invisible, so this is nice.
Of course. You have to put something over your eyes, but it should be able to let you pass around. And you look down, and it seems like it's made of some unfortunate soul's face and skin.
Oh, great. Okay. So we got a face-off scenario here.
You can describe the face however you want, whenever you need to describe it. So Corporal Vilfris looks at him and says, now, this business with Korn, now, we have to take care of it. What do you two think we should do?
Well, I mean, there was the one guy was really big and really scary. He was pretty intense. He might be hard to fight straight up. But, you know, I mean, if there was enough of us, I guess we could take him.
I like where you think. We could bring the full force of the unmarked flesh down on his head.
I agree.
It sounds like a good plan to me. What do you think, Brant?
Yeah, it's fine. You can kill him. I guess I can get rid of the body for everybody.
Oh yeah. For the recap. For the recap, my new friend also eats people. So, you know.
He does.
Good friends.
They got a lucky shot off on my leg last time. It won't go so well for them if we go back there.
Well, let's make it tonight.
I love that that's not even hyperbole.
It's really not. It's a super lucky shot.
Yeah, he was unarmed. He like completely disabled me.
So, and he was like asleep earlier.
And I took his weapon.
He woke up, punched me in the leg, and I was crippled.
that's Warhammer.
I thought it was cool. I wasn't mad about it.
It's not even Warhammer. Yeah. It's Dan.
That's Dan. That is Dan. So the corporal's like, all right, well, we'll meet tonight then. I'll wrangle up some of the crew, and you'll lead us then over there.
Okay.
Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. And then he's like, I'll go spread the word. I'll meet you back here around 6 o'clock. And he walks out. So it is. So you guys have a few hours. If you want to do anything, if you need to get anything in order before he comes back, you can. It is up to you.
I'd like to just like stretch out, like warm up my leg, because I know it's still a little sore, a little stiff.
Sure.
That's about it.
Okay. Brant has assumed a new form within these past few days. No one's asked him where he got it from, and he doesn't relinquish that information. but he looks like a burly kind of dock worker with a long, bushy beard. Errol, would you like to do anything specific, or would you just like to wait until the rest of the crew get here?
Are there any... like empty bottles around?
Oh, sure. Of course.
I would like to fill an empty bottle with Errol's breast milk.
You got it.
And so, keep that in the pocket of my new clothes.
Okay. So you grab a bottle. Let's say it's like the size of a normal beer bottle, like a Bud Light.
Okay.
And no one... really knows what you're doing, I guess. You put it under your clothes, and it sounds like you're taking a piss.
If there's like a bathroom or something, I would have stepped away.
Okay, so you do this in secret then.
Yeah.
So yes, that's fine. Okay, so you go to the bathroom. You're able to do this. You can tell that the bottle is filling up, but you don't see any liquid going in.
Oh, even better.
And then. You kind of realize that, you know, you're getting close to the top, a little bit spills out, and you have this bottle filled. You can seal it if you want to, like melt candle wax, or if you have a different idea on how to seal the bottle.
Yeah, if there's no like corks or anything, then I can seal it with candle wax.
All right. So why don't you make an average dexterity check? Let's see how good you are to seal this bottle up.
50-50, and I failed.
Okay. Are you going to let that stand?
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, this one's not important, so.
Okay. So you have it, you think it's sealed, and you put it in your pocket. And do you like do anything else?
I don't have any money, so no. I'll stay in the house and just bide my time.
Okay. So a few hours go by. Around 5:30, Corporal Vielfris comes back. He's like, "All right, now final preparations, Errol. I got a couple of weapons if you want them." And he gives you an array of weapons. They're all hand weapons if you want. He's you got this, and then he points. He's got, we got some brass knuckles. What's your poison?
I guess I'll take the brass knuckles.
Good choice. Right.
So he hands you a nice set of brass knuckles. You look at them, and it's almost like the eyes for your or the holes for your fingers to go in. Almost looks like they form eyes, and it looks like it resembles a skull. And on top of where the skull is are like little tiny spikes where your fist would be blunching. And let me give you...
Totally Errol style.
No. All right, you should. All right, so you have a pair of knuckle dusters. Now, it is important to know, I don't think you have the melee brawling skill.
I do.
Okay, you do.
Yeah, because okay. I'm a protagonist now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, so you're good then. So when you're testing with that, you're using your melee brawling. And are you going to go out fully clothed or butt naked?
Do I have a hood?
Yeah, we can say that he's smart enough to have given you an outfit with a hood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, my mask, it's just like a normal person's face, but it's stretched a little bit too much. So, like, the mouth is a little bit too wide, and, like, the skin on the cheeks is a little too tight. So, it's just enough that it's uncomfortable to look at.
Okay. Like, I dig it. It's super creepy.
Like Joker and Death of the Family, if you've ever seen that.
I have not.
Okay. Yeah, he cuts his own face off and then sews it back on.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That is very, very creepy. So then Corporal Villefurs is like, all right, Errol, lead the way.
So yeah, so Errol leads him back to the place where he met the friendly followers of Khorne.
Okay. So you all get here. He's wrangled up five of your brothers from the Unmarred Flesh.
Am I familiar with any of them?
Yeah, you would be, because you've been in here for long enough.
Okay.
Yeah, you recognize everybody that's here. And he's like, all right, this is the place. We storm the doors.
Yeah, this is the place. I think it might only be the one guy. I think he may have killed all of his allies, but I don't know. So yeah, there might not be many people in there, but the one that is, if he's still here, is really big and pretty scary. So be careful.
Well, that sounds like bloody Khorne, doesn't it? And as he says that, he spits on the ground.
Yeah, it does.
No, not a boy. All right, well, lead the way, Errol. We'll follow you.
Well, Errol, when we go in there, what's the number one thing that we have to do?
Protect each other.
We got to make them hurt.
Oh yeah, that obviously.
Damn right. And then we can let them expire.
Yeah.
We'll expire all of our enemies.
Fire him hard.
I'll open the door.
Okay. So as you open the door, you see inside the warehouse, and he's sitting there, Indian style, in the center of the warehouse. Around him are the bodies of the rest of the members of the Crimson Skull, butchered. His axe still wet, now with dried blood. And in the center, he's drawn a very crude skull. It's about 10 feet by 15 feet length and width. And you can tell that he's drawn it with his axe in the blood of his own followers. And he's standing there, breathing heavily. You can see the steam coming out of his black Baroque mask, his helmed head. And he just is staring at you.
We're going to expire you.
You're welcome to try.
Okay.
This will be easy.
And we're just going to start that combat. I wonder if there's an easy way to click everybody. Oh, that did it. Oh my god, that's so awesome. Let's go fight. I'm finding new ways to do things faster on Foundry. So if I select everybody and then just click one of their toggle combats, it toggles everybody. Awesome. All right. And we have started combat. So Corporal Villefurs will go first. Let me begin that shit.
Damn, look at that initiative.
And yeah, he's pretty beast. And he's going to just charge straight in, going 8 yards or 8 squares. And he's going to make it right there. And the Chaos Warrior,
you must be a foolish one.
And let's see, can he charge? I think he can. So he rears up. He takes a few steps back and then charges straight at Corporal Vilfris and attempts to smack him with his giant two-handed battle axe. Gets one advantage for charging. Let's roll that weapon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, ooh, he's got plus six SL. That's not so good. And let's try to oppose. And he does not. So he hits him in the right arm with his huge battle axe. Let's see. What did he roll? He's got a couple. So he's going to replace. No, he's not. Let's see. He gets to, because he charged, he gets to add the unit die to the result of the damage. So he has a difference of 7 SL. So he's at 18. Oh, wow. So he does 25 damage. 20 damage. So he comes and he bisects Corporal Vilfris in two. He hits him in the right arm and his blade passes straight through and out the other side of his body. Instantly killing Corporal Vilfris.
What?
He will gain an advantage.
That is off to a good start.
Well, that's not good.
And then he points the battle axe directly at the rest of you guys. And then the rest of the brawlers are gonna go. The member of your cult, and they're all just gonna move up their 8 squares. All right, this one might be able to make it, actually.
Man, I joined the wrong cult.
Maybe. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so this one's able to charge in, gets an advantage for charging, and is going to attempt to hit this giant Cornite warrior. Yeah, you might have joined the wrong cult.
Basically, two cults that are very similar. One uses weapons and one doesn't.
Yes. Okay, so he comes in and tries to punch him right in the head, and the Chaos Warrior gives him a headbutt in response, cracking his fist against his skull, doing no damage. And the Chaos Warrior will get another advantage.
Oh, boy.
And he'll lose one. All right, next guy, can he make it in? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He will. And he will also try to attack this Chaos Warrior. Gets one advantage for charging. And he gets to roll it at average because he's outnumbering him right now.
Our only hope.
His only hope. Or, well, you can always get an auto success. That wasn't it.
There we go.
Oh, he fumbled.
We had to get those advantages off of him.
Yeah, well, he did. He fumbled. He got an auto failure. So he's going to do 6, 8 damage, but it's undamaging because he's punching him with his fist to the right leg. But it's enough to take away his advantage. And then he suffers a fumble. His next action has a minus 10.
Damn.
So he hits him a little bit off balance and is able to surprise this giant warrior. And as you see him come in and smack the Chaos Warrior, you see a little bit of blood trickle down his mask. It seems he's caused just enough damage, and the blood of the Corn Warrior mixes in to the ground where Culper Vilfers was, and he temporarily disappears. You see him evaporate into the floor in a fountain of blood and gore, and all that's left is just a steaming pile of viscera, guts, and gore.
Cool.
And the rest of the warriors like, what the hell just happened? And they just move in a little bit, kind of cautiously.
Yep. No way that's going to be bad. So seeing how this fight is going so far, Errol is going to remove all of his clothes.
Okay, that would be your action.
That's fine. Including he'll leave his the knuckle dusters behind as well. So I'm gonna just unequip those at least.
Okay.
And then he will move up. I think I can get there. Is that too far?
I was not counting.
I was right here, and it's two each, so 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. So I can get right. I'll go right there. I want to be able to set charge depending on where he appears.
Okay.
And that's my turn.
Okay. And Brant is going to very carefully move forward. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Go right here. Beaker, you are up.
How many spaces am I allowed to move again? I forget.
So you are able to move your movement, which is how it breaks down, is you can move 8 yards at a walking pace and 16 yards at a run. You're allowed to move your run yards for free, and each square is 2 yards, which means during combat you can move 8 squares as a human.
And then Brant is in the doorway, right?
Yeah, he just walked in just enough to be inside the doorway.
All right, so I'll stop right behind him.
Okay. From out of nowhere, blood erupts out of the skull in the center of the floor, hitting the ceiling of this 30, 35-foot warehouse. This cloud of red begins to form inside the building, and it begins to rain blood. Little blood droplets cascading on the ground. And then you see this enormous figure begin to rise out of the ground over here by the other door. First comes the Chaos Warrior that you just saw, but now his armor is shining red, constantly bleeding. And as he erupts out of the ground, he's seated upon this massive steed, a being of demonic flesh and brass machinery, huge, snorting, fiery demon that he rides into combat. And along with him, two flesh hounds appear in the same manner, erupting out of the blood from the ground. They look very similar to a mix between a wolf and some kind of a reptilian beast, with brass collars affixed around their neck, blazing bright with the fiery magic of the Chaos God Khorne. And let me toggle them into the initiative as well.
That's cool. That's cool. Man, this was a good call, guys. It's a good call.
And the one flesh hound lashes out at the flesh brawler. Actually, before we do that, I need a bunch of fear tests from everybody.
Me, I'm not in the room.
You can see everything. Fear test is just based on sight. So why don't we do this piecemeal? Errol, why don't you do yours first? This is for the Khorne Warrior that is now riding a juggernaut.
Okay, I pass.
I don't think that's how it works.
I have resistance to fear.
That is true. Okay, so you pass his fear test. All right, and now you need your next one for the first flesh hound.
So that's a cool test?
Cool test.
And that is challenging?
That will be... What did we make it last time? I constantly forget. You can make it average.
Okay. That one I'm going to reroll.
Okay.
Yep, that'll do.
All right, so you passed that fear test. Now I need a fear test for the second flesh hound.
I was going to say, I knew I had a really good chance to pass. Oh my god.
Yeah, you have a 72 in that.
So. There we go.
Okay, so you are unafraid completely. Dan.
Yes.
Dietker also needs to make a cool test. If you go under skill where it says cool, click on it, make it average. Your first test is against the Juggernaut of Khorne.
Okay. Average.
Okay.
There There you go.
So you pass, but you need at least 3 success levels. So what a success level is, because I don't know if you remember, it is you take the skill that you're testing on, for you was 79, and you roll to 70, and you subtract it, and the difference is the success levels. So if, for instance, you would have got a 59, it's easiest to just subtract the 10 digit, so 7 minus 5, you would have had 2 success levels. So you count. So yeah, so you get to test at the end of every round. So right now you have 1 success level out of the needed 3.
Okay.
So you're going to get the fear condition, which basically means that you're scared as fuck.
So that means so what does that do to me?
So what fear does is you must make a cool test before you move closer to the source of your fear, and you have a minus 10 to affect the source of your fear. And if you fail that test to move forward, then you can't move closer.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And if it moves closer to you, which we haven't had this happen in game, even in the main story, you need to make another cool test. And if you fail it, you get the broken condition.
That makes you run away. Okay.
And now you need to make another cool test for the first flesh hound.
Sure. Average again?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, so that one you're completely good. Same thing for the second flesh hound. No, so you're scared of the second flesh hound.
So I can't move forward?
You would have to test when it is your turn.
Okay.
All right, and now I'm going to make some tests for these fools. Brant first. He's good. He's not afraid of the juggernaut. And then we'll do the two. He don't give a fuck. He's scared of the last one. All right. Let's do these dudes. I think for the little guys, I'm just going to do one test to speed it along and combine the success levels needed. So he needs one more. Second dude. No, he's super scared. You guys aren't going to be getting a lot of help this fight.
Seems that way.
We don't need it.
That guy's good. Okay, so with all the fear tests out of the way, we are on the first flesh town's turn, and he's going to attempt to strike at the one guy from your order. He strikes out with his claws. And misses. He's not able. His claws strike the ground, swiping up a fountain of blood, but missing the brawler entirely. The next one does the same thing to the other guy, or at least attempts to, and also misses as he reaches out with his maw, trying to grab a hold of the warrior's arm, but he's able to twist away at the last second, gaining another advantage. And the Chaos Warrior on the juggernaut begins to ride out, and he is going to... Who is he going to charge? He charges towards this brawler here, completely trampling the boxes in his way, and attempts to strike him. Because he's mounted, trying to hit a smaller opponent, he gets plus 20 to hit him. So with his minus for the fumble, that's a net plus 10. And he will try to dodge it, or block it. And he's successful. He's able to block the parry.
Nice.
But because he moved closer, they all have to make one more cool test. And anyone that fails get a broken condition, which means they will run. So he's okay. He's okay. He's running. All right, so 2 out of 5 are running away. That's not terrible.
I guess. I mean, every turn, though, they have to do that again, right? They have to make the saves?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean... That was only one time.
Well, I mean, they'll be fine. They're totally fine.
These guys that are broken, do they get unbroken? Do they make saves to be unbroken, or are they just broken for the fight now?
They can only make saves once they're out of sight of all the enemies.
Jeez.
Okay, the first brawler tries to punch the flesh hound. Missing. Losing all his advantage. Second one attempts to strike at the flesh hound. coming in with a haymaker aimed at the beast's snout. And wins. Doing how much damage did he do? Okay, so he's doing 8 damage to the body. And he gets another advantage. These two guys run away as far as they can. This guy runs into the giant. So these two run away, and they'll be able to test in a minute. And this guy tries to hit the rider. Because he is smaller than the target of the mount, he has a minus 20 to hit him. All right. So he loses by 2. The Chaos Warrior has a special trait that when he loses in combat, he can still do damage. So he parries the blow, taking his enormous battle axe and chopping it into the other flesh brawler's body, dealing 11 damage.
So the rider got hit or he didn't?
The rider didn't. So the Chaos Warrior swung back at him, and he actually slices this guy in two, and his body falls dead to the ground. And we are on Errol.
Okay. So this is interesting. Errol's questioning a lot of his recent choices.
Of course.
All right. So two guys are running like a bitch. Errol is going to... How far do I have to move to charge?
Your movement. Which would be you're walking, so 8 yards, so that'd be 4 squares.
1, 2, 3, 4, and then I can attack that dog, or I have to move directly at it.
You're technically supposed to charge directly at the thing, so you could probably charge into the first dog.
Okay.
With no problems.
I'll charge that one, and I will attack him with my bare hands.
You got it. You get the outnumbering bonus.
Sweet. That is plus 10, right?
Outnumbering 2-1 is plus 20, so you make it at average.
Okay. God damn it. Oh. That's better.
Okay, that's much better. Ooh. It is winning by 1 SL.
Friggin' A. I'm just going to take it. I doubt I'm going to beat that roll, so.
Well, you could right now, remember, add 1 with your fortune, but that looks like it's your last fortune.
Can I still? Oh, I can still do that. Okay, I wasn't sure. I'm going to save it to be safe.
Okay. So you go to punch him and you're unable to, but as you look down at your body, the rain of blood coming from the top of the warehouse is outlining your invisible, your once invisible flesh.
Oh, shit.
Almost, it's like that scene in Hollow Man when he jumps into the pool and then gets out, where it just forms this loose outline of your body. And we are onto Brant, and Brant is going to see you over there attacking this beast, and he's going to charge in and try to help you out. He gets plus 40 now as you're outnumbering him 3-1. Well, I forgot to add it in, but plus 40, he has plus 1 SL of success because his skill goes to 80, and he's unable to hit the dog, and he gets an advantage. Dietker, it is your turn.
Just one or a bunch?
So before you move, remember you have to make a cool test.
Well, I guess I'm not moving.
Just one.
All right.
You would not be moving.
Okay.
End of the round. So you get to make another cool test, Dietker. You have 2 to make. So the first one is for your fear against the Juggernaut.
That's good.
You're good. So you're no longer afraid of the Juggernaut. Great. The second one is for the fear against the second dog. So you're good. So your fear has gone away. And let me do these two guys. Cool test. I think we said it was average, right? So he's still afraid. And he's still... So they're both still afraid. They're both going to continue to run. So the first flesh hound goes and tries to bite at the flesh brawler that is now outnumbered, giving him plus 20 to hit it, and is unable to harm it as this guy is able to twist out of the way, giving him another advantage. The next one is going to attempt to hit the flesh brawler to its right and wins. So he is going to be doing, yeah, so he does a total of 10 damage to the body of this guy, which is enough to, no, it's not. Never mind. So his he reaches out with his maw and he grasps around the waist of this guy. He sees long yellow fangs puncturing this guy's skin, and you see trickles of blood as he screams in agony. The Chaos Warrior is going to attempt to smash this other flesh brawler with his giant battle axe. So he's not able to oppose it, unfortunately, and he is going to end up taking one. So it's going to be 12 damage. 12 damage to the right leg. And that is enough. You see his great axe come down, chopping right above the knee, his leg, and his one half flies off into the distance, blood dripping out of his wound. And he moves a little bit closer to the other guy, who's now outnumbered. Yeah, he's now outnumbered. And the demonic mount attempts to reach down and stomp down on the other flesh brawler over here. And is not able to win. Doesn't do any damage, giving this guy an advantage. The flesh brawler reaches out, trying to attack the one dog that you're all surrounding, giving him plus 40 to the attack. And he is able to win, barely, with no difference in SL, doing his amount of damage, but gaining one advantage himself to go to two. And the other guys are broken. They're not doing anything except for running away. And we are on to Errol. It's your turn again.
I think Errol might need to tactically advance away. No, Errol's gonna... Is it still raining blood?
It is still raining blood, yes.
My one weakness.
Blood rain.
Now, Errol's gonna take a swing at the dog again.
Okay. And you get plus 40 for... Yep, plus 40.
Cool. All right, that's good.
That's not bad, not bad. Ooh, and he fumbled.
Hey, excellent.
So, I have bad news. So, I rolled a d10 and got a 9 for his demonic trait. So, you go to punch him, and you make solid contact, and this wave of demonic energy pulses out of the brass collar around its neck, completely negating your blow.
Cool.
He ignores the entire hit as if it never happened.
Do I still get advantage?
You still get advantage because you won the test.
Okay.
And he does lose all of his advantage. I'll say he also makes the fumble as well. Which is just one wound. So he scratches his paw on the ground as he turns to face you or something. Takes one damage.
Whatever, I'll take it. It's a win.
It's a win.
I'm more effective than most of my new allies.
Well, most of your new allies are dead.
I wonder how good my fellowship is. Maybe I can talk a Chaos Warrior into taking me.
Oh, you're like switching sides to Korn?
Yeah, you know. Hey, you need an apprentice, dude? What about an invisible one? I'm really good at hurting my allies.
I mean, doesn't he kill his allies?
You have language battle.
I do.
But you'd have to do that on your next turn as you use your action.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's already butchered most of his allies.
Well, to be fair, that does seem to be because they failed.
Yeah, Errol's good at doing that, though, so. He wouldn't laugh.
All right. So are you going to stay then where you are? You'd have to, if you wanted to move without penalty. Advantage. Yeah.
I have like no loyalty to the last cult member, but I do have a little bit of loyalty to Brant because I do feel like I got him into this mess. So for now, I am going to stay there.
Okie dokie. Brant is going to attempt to take a swing at the dog with his plus 40. And then the dog is going to attempt to oppose it. Boop, 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 boop. And he's not successful as he rolled an 80. So he goes to hit the dog and he comes down with his weapon. He's just not able to. The dog jumps out of the way, landing on his sword and pouncing off of it, giving the dog an advantage back.
God, my allies are terrible.
Deep now I know how
Ivan feels.
Oh, get bodied, Jasper. So, Deeker, you are no longer afraid. You can move without penalty. So you charge in. So that gives you one advantage. I'll put that up.
I'm gonna attack the dog with my knuckle busters. Is that a challenging difficulty?
So if you're attacking the dog, you are now outnumbering it. So it's gonna go to easy plus 40 because you're outnumbering it by so much.
Clean break.
Is that just the highest it gets?
That is the highest it gets, yeah. So he's probably, I'm imagining, going to fail.
What?
Oh, that sounds really bad. So he wins, though. So he wins. So so basically, you still do the crit. What is a clean break? Your first blow misses as you aim at his face. The dog ducks underneath it. But then you come back with an elbow, striking him in his right forearm, cracking his bones, and you feel it cripple underneath your strike. He is going to get... He needs to take an endurance test.
Does he take any damage?
Well, he will from the crit. The crit does some damage. But he succeeded against your attack. He rolled better. But crits always go through on offense and defense. So as long as he doesn't roll a 9. No, he didn't. That time he didn't. So, all right, what am I doing? Endurance is toughness. And it's a minus 10. So it's difficult. He fails. So he gets a stunned condition, which basically means he can't take an action. He takes 3 wounds. And he is going to suffer the effects of a minor broken bone, which is probably just a minus to his tests, I'd imagine.
You have to love failing to hit something and causing a broken bone and stun condition.
That's pretty damn good. Let me see real quick. What is the effects of a broken bone? So he's not able to use his one arm.
That sounds bad. And he's stunned.
Oh. So minus 30 to his strength and agility. That's bad. Yeah, and he's stunned. So, well, he can't attack anyway, so he's not doing damage. Let's see. Who is anyone still afraid? We got these two guys still afraid. So at the end of the round, they're going to make their checks to get rid of their broken. Nope. Okay, so this guy is no longer broken, but he is still afraid, so he'll have to test for his fear next time. All right, top of the order. This dog is going to attempt to attack him. We will say this is difficult now with the tests. We'll say it's a straight roll. We'll say it's not outnumbering him.
What?
Oh, and he scores a crit. Yeah, I mean it's a thing. So he did the same thing. He failed the test, but he scores the crit. He fractured
his hip. How old are these guys?
Oh, and he only had 2 wounds left, so. He jumps over, he jumps up in the air as the dog lunges, trying to headbutt him, misses completely, and as the dog pulls back, the warrior is expecting to land on the dog, and instead lands back on the ground, loses his footing, falls, smashes his hip on the ground, dying.
You just know that that guy's dooming. Is he was told he would die of a broken hip, and he was excited. Because he's like, I'm going to have a nice long life. Like, I'm going to die when I'm old of a broken hip. Like, that's great.
Yeah, that's totally good.
This poor, like, 20-something-year-old guy dies of a broken hip.
Oh, poor guy.
Welcome to Warhammer, bitch.
Yeah, you thought you were awesome? Bullshit. So this guy, he has to make an endurance test at the end of the round, which I didn't do, to see if he's unstunned or not. So no, so he's still stunned, so he has no action.
Okay.
And the Chaos Warrior on the mount turns to Deeker and aims his battle axe at him.
Bye, Deeker.
Good. Fuck him.
You're lucky he's not charging. He doesn't get any of the qualities of his great axe. And now you need to oppose with either your weapon skill or your dodge.
Fuck me, I fuck you.
I do.
What is difficult?
It'd be challenging.
Probably gonna be crippled. I won.
No, you won. You're good. So you won, and what's even better, so Deeker has a trait called champion. So when you win in defense, you do damage as well.
Sweet.
So you will end up gaining one advantage. And let's see, how much damage did you do? You have plus four, he had plus zero. So that's four plus your knuckle dusters, say five. So you do nine damage to the right arm of the Chaos Warrior.
Yay.
And he loses his advantage.
That's huge.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't talk. That's what you get for fucking with me, I think, in my head.
And the juggernaut demonic mount he's on reaches down trying to gore you with the spikes, the piston spikes on his head.
That's rude.
It is a little bit rude, yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, well, he's definitely failed. Don't roll worse than that.
What did he roll? I can't see the number.
He rolled a 94, and his target was 55.
Oh. He's at a minus four, which should be.
So I can do that with my knuckle dusters again, right?
You sure can.
Sweet. Maybe I can fuck him up. Challenging?
Challenging.
Fuck!
so you won, but lost.
Yeah. So you won. So here, we'll do this in order. So you won. Doing, six damage to him, because your damage is five, the difference is one. So okay. You do six damage to the beast's flank. And then...
That's not bad.
That's not terrible.
Should I take one wound? That's not that bad.
That's not great, but what's important is it takes away all your advantage.
Fuck, I had like two or three.
You had three, yeah. So you smack him with a nice right hook right in the flank, and as you're pulling out, the bits of spike on this beast's brass-covered hide catch your wrist, and you open up a little gash, taking one wound.
It says I hit myself.
Yeah, I'm just describing it for flavor because it's a static table, so all the results will always be like that. Result will always say that.
Okay.
And that was a very uneventful Chaos Warrior turn.
He put a wound on me, advantage, but then he also took a bunch of damage.
Yeah, he did worse on his turn than he could have. This guy, not being broken anymore, is going to attempt to make a cool test to be able to move back into the fight, and he does not.
Damn.
Errol, it be your turn.
All right. Errol's going to keep the pain train going. Attack the dog again.
Okay. Do you? Plus
40 still, right?
So hold on one second, because I think stun gives you something as well. You get one advantage before you attack.
Ooh.
And then he has a minus 10 to defend himself.
Okay, so I get an extra advantage. It's at plus 40, and he has minus 10?
Correct.
Don't fuck up, Errol.
Don't fuck up. I mean, your target was a 105, so I'll make mine at difficult. Yeah, so let's see. So you're doing five difference. So what is your total damage?
So unarmed, so that's just my strength bonus, right? So
yeah.
Five difference plus two.
Plus two, okay. So five, six, seven, but his armor is doubled, which he's not wearing any, so you're lucky. So you do... four damage because it's your strength bonus plus one plus the difference. So You do one extra.
Oh, I gotcha. And then he has his toughness, right?
Yeah, he minuses by his toughness. And you get another advantage.
Sweet.
Honestly, Deeker might carry you in this fight after seeing what happened.
That champion ability is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty well. I don't know if PCs can get it or not.
I have to imagine they can't. That would be way too strong.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so Brant is going to attempt to strike him as well. Oh, let me give him his advantage first. And now at plus 40, as he tries to punch the dog.
Champion is not listed in the talents, so.
Okay, so then no, you don't get it.
Yeah.
Gonna roll. And the dog will oppose. Difficult now. Okay, so Brant wins, but the dog rolls his plus 9 for demonic, and you see Brant going with his sword, chopping right into the dog. The dog doesn't move as the sword bounces off his demonically embrazened flesh. He takes no damage, but Brant does get another advantage. Dietger, it is your turn.
We'll go after that dog again.
Okay.
Challenging? No, easy, right? Because I'm surrounding it.
It would be easy to go after the small dog, yeah.
Damn.
Well, that's not terrible.
So I only need an 86 and I failed.
Yeah, well...
Sounds about right.
No, you actually pass because you get one advantage before you attack. So your target was a 96. So you succeed by plus 1.
Okay. But he still gets to roll against me.
He still gets to roll against you at a minus 10. No, so you fail. Because he got plus 2.
Of course.
But you lose all your advantage. That's good.
Great.
And you give him advantage.
Fantastic.
Alright, that's your turn, right, Deeker? So at the bottom towards the doors, you look and you see a familiar outline, this tall hat, smoking a cigar.
I thought I'd find you here, Errol.
And it seems like Matthias has tracked you down.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Who's that?
He's the witch hunter that's been looking for me. Oh. I love that he looks at the scene in front of him. And he's just like, Errol's the only thing that's wrong.
You could probably imagine that he is going to attempt to kill everyone in here. End of the round stuff. This guy's got to make his test for broken. Nope, he's still running away. This guy has to make his test for just fear. And he succeeds. So he gets rid of his fear completely. So you'll get a little bit of help. And the dog will attempt to get rid of his stunned. He needs an endurance test. No, he is still stunned. So top of the round, the first flesh hound moves in to oppose Dietger. Now outnumbering you 2-1.
Oh.
And attempts to strike at you with its claws.
Wait a minute. When I attacked that hound last round, wasn't it stunned?
It was.
Does that benefit in a way?
It did. It gave you the advantage beforehand, and I make the test at minus 10. He can defend himself, but he can't make attacks.
Okay, gotcha.
And this one has targeted you, plus 20. And he scores an auto success.
Why auto?
Anything, if you roll 1 through 5, Dan, it's an auto success.
Yes.
And 90, okay. 96 to 100 is an auto fail.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's like a rolling a 20 or a 1 on a d20.
Fair enough.
So you still need to roll for the damage, though.
What is it, challenging?
Yes.
Huh.
You fail. So there's a difference of 8. So he's doing 16 damage to your right arm.
Fuck.
It is minus your toughness bonus is 3, so he does 13 damage. Taking you to zero, and I will give you the rules of the PCs. So you get to die, you need to take more critical wounds than your toughness bonus. So you need to take 4 critical wounds. So this will cause your first critical wound. Would you like me to roll it, or would you like to roll it?
Roll. What am I rolling?
You're rolling for your critical wound.
I'll roll it. What's the thing that I'm rolling?
All right. So it's going to be two rolls. First, roll me a D100.
Oh, I need actual dice?
Or you can type it in the chat. If you type / roll space 1D100, D100.
That's bad.
Okay, there you go. Ooh, well, that was the hit location. So it's going to be a crit on your right leg. It's not terrible. Let me pull up the chart here. Roll another D100 for me.
Okay.
172. What was that? 21. Okay, that's not bad. Do a minor cut. You gain 1 bleeding condition.
Okay. Ooh, that was lucky.
Yeah, he was really lucky. He comes in, cuts your leg. You have 1 bleeding condition. What that means basically is you lose a wound at the end of every round. And actually, no, that is very bad.
Yeah, it's bad because he's that low.
Yeah. I lied completely.
That might be all she wrote.
Well, it's going to be an additional critical wound every round automatically.
Yeah, and because you're at 0 wounds, you gain the unconscious condition, which means you basically fall unconscious, and you don't regain consciousness until the bleeding conditions are gone, which you can't really do in the middle of combat.
I'm dead, basically.
Well, unless this combat ends in 4 rounds.
With Errol winning.
With Errol winning.
Okay.
All right. The second flesh hound doesn't do anything because he's stunned, and this chaos warrior is going to charge, seeing fresh blood charge directly at Matthias.
Yeah, suck it, Matthias.
And attempt to strike him.
I love that one of my characters is very opposed to this guy, and the other one is very much aligned with him.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I'm conflicted on how I want this to go.
Well, he auto-failed, so that's not good. He will defend himself with his hand weapon. Oh, and he scores a critical.
Ooh. Yeah, suck it, Chaos Warrior.
Suck it. Oh, and he... Oh, this is what Brian got. All right, so he comes in with his battle axe, misses. You see the witch hunter do a spin, spinning out of the way, and in one motion pulls out his sword, slicing in an upward motion across the body of the chaos warrior, cutting a deep gash. So every time he gets hit in the body, he gets 2 more bleeding conditions, and he has 4 right now. And he will lose 4 wounds at that. That's not good. All right, and he gains an advantage, Matthias does. And the demon mount will attempt to stomp on him.
I feel like the Chaos Warrior should get like bonuses for having bleeding conditions.
You know what? That would be a very cool thing. That would definitely make sense. Let's see anything else that's cool. Oh, he has horns too, which I haven't been using. I think that costs advantage though. And he'll again try to defend himself. Oh, this time rolls a failure. That's bad. So this time he ends up taking 8, 17 points of damage to the right arm. And let's see, what is his fumble? He tears his muscle. Counts as a critical wound. He's knocked against the doors from the bulk of this massive mechanical beast, tearing a muscle in his shoulder blade. So he has a minus 10 to his tests. This chaos warrior is gone. He runs away completely. And the other one moves closer. And Errol, we are back up to your turn.
Well, I feel safe from Matthias for now. So I'm going to swing at the dog again.
Go ahead. So you have a this one now, because the other dog is involved with Deeker, you have a plus 20.
Okay.
Two to one. And you get one advantage first because he's stunned.
Right. Okay. So plus 20 with four advantage.
Nice. So you win. You come in with the haymaker, like an uppercut right to its chin, and you connect with the snout. And again, this demonic energy blazes out of its collar, leaving that you've done no damage.
God damn it.
So he has to roll a 9 plus on a d10, and I've got it like four times.
I'm going to take that collar and start wearing it.
That's a good way to switch allegiances. And you do gain an advantage because you beat him in the test.
Got it. This is my entire plan at this point. Get as many advantages as I can for the inevitable escape.
The inevitable escape. Matthias, so he... did he get it? He didn't get a bleeding. He has a minus 10 to his tests. So he's going to target the Chaos Warrior on the mount. But because he's targeting him and the mount is bigger than Matthias, he has a minus 20 to hit him. So he's making this test at minus 30. And does I have any talents to help him out? Not really. All right. And this dude is going to try to oppose with his great axe. So Matthias is going to use Lucky to reroll his test. No, it's immediately worse. So the Chaos Warrior, also having champion, rears down, taking the other end of his axe and impales Matthias through the chest. And you see his heart explode out of his back. And then he just slumps onto the ground dead. And the Chaos Warrior gets an advantage.
Well, that's one of my problems solved.
Brant is going to attempt to attack the Chaos Dog. The one that is stunned, so he gets a little bit of advantage. He gets to make this test at average. The dog tries to oppose at a minus 10. Does not do it successfully, so Brant will do 10 damage total to the body of the dog. Possibly. Let me roll that d10. Yeah, he does it. Okay. And he'll get another advantage for that. And Deeker, it is your turn.
Okay. I can't do anything.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I forgot. You're unconscious. Never mind. So, end of combat. Deeker, we're going to just say that you're bleeding out. So, you have two critical wounds right now.
Okay.
You need four to die. The Chaos Warrior probably will lose his advantage. He takes four wounds from his bleeding conditions. And I think that is all the end stuff. The dog is going to test for getting rid of his endurance, his stunned. Nope, he's still stunned. That is helping you guys out immensely. This dog will attempt to strike Deeker. Oh, no, Deeker's already dead. Strike Brant. So now you no more outnumbering advantage.
Did you apply the Chaos Warrior's bleeding?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
I do like that it gives you the button to just do it automatically.
It does. Now I'm gonna remember that for next time so I don't have to do it manually. That's another little thing that'll speed everything up. So Brant is going to defend. Probably going to be fine. Oh, yeah, he's fine. So Brant is able to shake off the attack from the other Fleshhound, gaining another advantage. The other one's stunned, doesn't move. And then the Chaos Warrior charges in at Brant and will attempt to strike him down. And he gets one advantage for charging in. He has enough space to back up and make a proper charge. And Brant attempts to oppose. Brant, super one. So Brant's good. He dodges out of the way. And then the juggernaut that he's riding attempts to strike at him as well. And it's average. I forgot because he's so big. And Brant is still good. He's able to duck out of the way of the goring horns of the juggernaut. So from out of nowhere, you see another one of your member come in and attempt to strike the Chaos Warrior, comes through the doors opening to the warehouse.
These guys have huge balls.
And it is minus 20 because he's trying to hit somebody on a mount. And he will do this great axe. Okay, so he does, let's see, 14 damage back to him. So this guy jumps up, tries to attack the Chaos Warrior from behind. The Chaos Warrior with one arm reaches up, grabs him by the throat, and slams his face into the spikes of the Juggernaut and throws him to the ground, killing him.
Oh, boy.
Errol, it is your turn.
Gonna attack that dog again.
Do it. So you have a no advantages now, except for the, you get one advantage before for striking a stunned opponent.
Gotcha. So I don't have that number anymore because Brant is not.
Well, Brant is engaged with two people. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So just challenging again.
Yep. But he's rolling his defense at minus 10, so. Oh, and he rolled a 99.
Fumble. Right. That's the worst.
All right. It is. So you do, are you doing, how much you're doing? 8 plus, so 9 plus your strength bonus, which is what?
2.
So you're doing 11 damage. Go ahead and describe that shit.
So Errol's just been wailing away at this stupid dog. Like every time he hits a little bit harder. Like he's just getting more and more amped up, and this strange rage is building inside of Errol as all these new friends that he just made have been getting just butchered around him, and this just anger and bloodlust is building inside of Errol, and he just pummels this dog into the ground.
Wonderful. Brant is going to attempt to swing at, he's gonna try to take the dog out first. He just figures that's an easier target.
Oh, the last thing I'll do on my turn is move over here.
Okay, sure. Sure. So he wins doing five plus, what's his damage? 13 damage to the right arm. All right, and Beaker's still dead. End of combat. Ooh, so let me click, what does this button do? Oh, that's so cool.
I even noted that he falls unconscious.
Yeah. Poor Deaker. Barely know him. So, Fleshhound is going to attempt, is going to turn and try to attack Errol, scoring one success level. Oh, you super beat it. So you're totally fine. You're easily able to dodge out of the way of its swiping paw, and you gain another advantage.
Errol's going faux Neo.
Yeah, basically. Like, the pieces of blood are starting to miss you that are falling from the sky. this guy will attempt to tech Brant. Gets the plus 20 for being mounted. Brant will attempt to dodge. And fails.
So close.
He only lost by one SL, so he's going to take 12 damage. What did he hit him in? The body. 12 damage to the body. Okay, he's still kicking.
Yeah, Brant.
But he loses. He had 6 advantage. That's rough.
Oh, shit.
Okay, and then the Juggernaut is going to attempt to strike at him, scoring 2 success levels.
Come on, Brant.
I feel like he's good, right?
I believe in you, you shape-shifting cannibal son of a bitch.
No. So he's going to take... So the Juggernaut opens up its piston-filled jaw and clamps around Brant's midsection, and you hear hisses of steam and molten brass as the jaw is clamped shut, tearing out his rib cage. And Brant falls onto a box on the floor, hunched over dead. Errol, it is your turn. It's just you and these bad dudes.
How far does the blood rain extend?
It is only on the interior of this warehouse.
Okay. Well, when I disengage, I only have to spend one advantage, right?
That is correct.
Fuck. Yeah, I got to get out of here. It's not saving my advantage count.
Saving your advantage count?
Yeah, I went up to 8 my last turn, but it didn't keep that one.
Oh, well, there you go.
Thanks. Okay, so I'll spend the 1 back down to 7, and I'm going to disengage.
Okay, so you're going to leave Dietker to his fate.
Yeah, I don't think I can take both of these on my own.
Sorry, Dietker.
Sorry, Dietker. It is. 2, 4. Are we counting diagnoses too? I can't remember how we do that.
No, just 1.
Okay. So that's so my movement is 16, so that's 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16. And then I'm gonna make an agility test, right?
Oh, to try to run farther? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Average. It's athletics. Average athletics test.
Okay, average athletics. There we go. Okay. Average athletics. So 3 more squares.
Not bad. You turn around, you see the corn warrior begin to beat his chest, and he commands the flesh hound to eat Dietker.
Oh!
Bite his flesh!
And the flesh hound gets a nasty snarl. Steam and heat coming from its mouth. Dietker opens his eyes briefly. His last bit of consciousness is all he sees is a black tongue licking the side of his cheek and fangs piercing his flesh. He tries to scream, but his larynx is ripped out by sharp bronze talons. And the 2 turn, after Errol has gotten a hefty head start and charge outside of the warehouse. And I think that is going to do it for today's session.
Oh, fuck.
We will see. We're going to do 1 more of these and we'll see what happens to Errol.
Is it going to be something good?
I don't know. I was not planning on everyone dying.
Good is out the window for Errol. I think that's been long out the window for Errol.
Yeah. So we're going to do a little bit of something real quick. So I'm going to give Errol 1,000 XP.
Ooh.
So you can probably think about it over the next couple of days. And then next time we play, I'll have Errol open so that you can adjust his stuff.
Okay.
But you get to a corner where you think you're safe in an alleyway. The blood rain having kind of sloughed off your flesh. So you're no longer able to see your outline anymore. And a voice inside your head echoes.
The path is clear for you, my champion. Take it.
And searing pain, almost like a straight line up your spine, flashes inside your body. You begin to feel all the fibers, muscles, tendons, bones scream in pain and begin to pull away from each other. Pretty soon, you're gasping for air on the ground. You look up, and it's almost as if you're seeing 2 visions. It seems that your body has divided and been split in 2. You now have 2 perfect copies of Errol. All your initial traits are cut in half, and you now have 2 bodies of Errol. They must stay within 100 yards of each other. If they ever go outside of 100 yards, the brain connection that you have with both copies will sever, and it'll be rendered unconscious until you regain that 100 yards. Just developing another mutation.
So initial characteristics are all halved?
All your initial characteristics are going to get halved, rounded up, but you now can control two tokens, basically, as you have two copies of Errol.
All right. Okay.
So you have two, they're two perfect, invisible, one-titted Errols.
So for role-playing purposes, as that pain begins, Errol just leans into this newfound rage he's feeling develop inside of him as he's been forced away from the group that had accepted him for who he was when he was human, and then forced into, or then he found another group that accepted him who he was as a mutant, and they were taken from him. And now he has no one again except this voice who believes in him. And so he leans into that rage to get him through that pain that he's feeling as he is torn, literally torn in two. And more than a physical transformation, there is a transformation in his personality as well, as he is accepting that he is now an outcast and there is no one else that can support him except this voice.
I love it. Well done, guys.
Good job.
Thanks, everyone, for watching. Like, subscribe, listen, and we'll be back for the last installment of Errol's epic story sometime in the future. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.